What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Greetings, you are now in tune with the Talking Reggae Podcast. As always, I am Jay of Street Level Uprising. And I'm pleased to have back with stopping back on the show to talk about what they've been up to and what's coming in the future. A couple of my friends from Lion of Judah band, Zaya and Siobhan. How are you? I haven't seen you. It's been, I remember when it was last year sometime. You guys were on the show. I got to meet all of you and it was beautiful. So it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So tell me, what have you been up to? What's been going on? What's new in the world of Lion of Judah band?
Well, we had our biggest year last year. You know, we did some, 30 shows, something like that. But it was a very nice year, very busy year. We put together a very, very solid set list that could span from anywhere for an hour to up to 3 hours of music, depending on what our venues were allowing us to use. So we had a real solid show put together for last year. Ever since then, we restructured a little bit. A few of our members moved over to other things. So we're down to 6 now instead of our 8. A little bit more comfortable, fits on the stage better. Yeah. the same sound. And we've been putting together some new music as well. So we're looking to get into the studio again and put out our third album under this new band. Yeah.
Great. That's great. And so I'm going to see you soon. We're just, as we record this, we're just a week away, which is really great. I finally get to meet you in person because I'll be out there. Shoreline, Washington, March 16th, Thursday, March 16th. Lion of Judah band, also with our friend Soul Tribe and me, Jay, from Street Level Uprising. I'm really looking forward to this show, not just because I love to play, but because I get to see you in person. I get to watch you play. I'm really excited about that. What should my expectations be for seeing Lion of Judah band on stage for the first time?
Well, you can definitely expect to feel good, to just let your worries melt away. Our songs are very uplifting and encouraging, and we've almost gotten confused with Christian rock. We're so positive. But it is reggae. It'll get you dancing, too.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, that's the first thing I fell in love with about your band was just how positive and uplifting it is. So go a little bit deeper about, you were talking about your lineup changes and all that. So what's the difference between the lineup now as far as like the music and how it makes you feel?
Well, I think the music now is a little bit more concentrated instead of too broad. So you got a fuller sound that's really focused on the specific instruments that's referenced in the band. We have one really good guitarist who also plays the harp. So we're adding that new sound as well. So it's really nice on a couple of our songs. He has a really nice touch to Rastaman. When you hear that one, it's going to be very interesting. A lot of people love it. Yeah, and other than that, we've got just us two vocalists now. So we got a little bit more mellow mood to our sound. And I think folks are going to like that as well.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to it. Tell me about the new songs you've been putting out.
Well, one of the new songs, because as someone that is so in love with reggae, many people ask me about why that is. And so one of the songs is called Selassie, and it talks about a little bit about the history of Selassie and why he's so inspirational and important. So I think it has a nice beat, but the message is even more important.
That's beautiful. I think a lot of times things like that, some of those messages get lost in modern reggae sometimes. And so I love that you're keeping that at the forefront. And I just love, my favorite thing about your band is just just vibe. Just above all else, like if someone said to me, describe Lion of Judah Band, like just those positive vibes, which is, it's great. It's great recorded. It's great on stage. And I'm looking forward to being there. So what's, you guys are playing this show with us next week. And about after that, do you have more shows coming up in the next few months?
You know, we're working with Global Productions now, and they're starting to hook us up with a few things. I don't want to let it out of the bag because, you know, I'm supposed to keep it tight.
Right. But,
you know, there's a couple of big ones coming up, you know, we're putting on some shows with some big names.
Yeah.
Right. So it's to get our image out even more now. So we're tightening up our sound, you know, just getting ready for those larger shows.
Right.
Moving away from the smaller things, unfortunately, you know, COVID also had an impact on everybody's dollar sign, right? So that impacted our band as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, make some changes what we can accept and what we have to turn down in order to succeed as a group. So we're not just a band, you know, we're also, you know, some people try to make a living, secondary living, even so, right?
So that's
our bottom line, you know? So some changes had to be made there, but for us, it's for the best. You know, we might have less shows, but they're more powerful, more stronger, more focused, more visibility, and that's where we want to go next. So it fits perfect.
Yeah. You always want to be taking those steps up, and you know, I learned a while ago. You know, you can oversaturate your region too. You don't want to play, you know, and then yeah, you know, people start seeing you like you're just always around, and they think they can just get you to play for nothing, or you know, and.
You know what I'm talking about.
You know, bar owners and all kinds of people are notorious for that. And yeah, shout out to Global Productions. They're handling this Soul Tribe tour that we're both a part of, which is really cool. Great people to work with. But no, you're right. It's like, you know, we're out here working hard. We're trying to get paid too. And you're trying to move up that ladder. And yeah, so there has to come a point where you say, you know, no, I'm sorry. Like I can't, you know, I liked the day that I got to where I found myself saying no more than I found myself saying yes, because
it
just, you know, like I liked that because it was like, okay, like I feel a little bit more in control of where I'm going. If I'm saying no to a lot of things that just don't make sense for me. And I'm sure it's the same way for you now. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to consider other band members, you know, because they all have a career that they're trying to to move forward as well. So,
yeah,
you know, consider them too.
Yeah. And, you know, you work hard at it. You know, people, musicians should be paid. And it's a tougher environment than ever before. You know, we don't sell albums like cats used to, you know, before the 2000s, back when you could actually sell records and stuff. And then the economics of touring is more expensive than it's ever been. There's more, you know, higher fuel costs and all those things. And then some venues now want to start taking cuts of the merchandise. And it's like, how do you expect musicians to make a living? How do you expect musicians to come to your town and tour when it just financially, it's almost impossible. So you know, you always want people to get out and support live music as much as they can. So, so are you in the studio now too, working on things?
You know, we were supposed to do that this year, but we didn't get to it. But it's still on the calendar. You know, we're going to get to it. We have the exact songs that we need to work on. But, you know, restructuring kind of took a little impact. And then we had a lot of vacations at the same time. You know, everybody had to go home for Christmas. So we didn't hear that. And I will pick it back up. We'll be in the studio soon enough.
But what's nice is we are still rehearsing regularly, working on new music, so that when we do go into the studio, we could just lay it down. So it's really exciting what we're working on now and how it's coming together. We have a keyboardist that I call FP. It stands for Fabulous Felipe. Been adding so many nice touches to the music. It's just incredible. So I can't wait for you to hear what he's doing to the songs.
I've been out there to the Northwest before. I've been in the Seattle area, but you know, now I'm going out and playing as a musician playing in that area. What can I expect? Are there some things that are specific to your region that I should be aware of, or that I should, expect?
Well, I think the audience, mm-hmm. you can expect them to be 100% vested in your show.
Oh, yeah.
If you give your heart to them, they give their heart back and it feels so good. And it's, and in the Northwest, people mm-hmm. love the reggae music. When they come out, they really want to express that love to the artist. So I think you can expect that.
I like that.
I couldn't answer that better myself.
How have you seen the reggae scene out there grow? You know, it's funny when I, so I'm back in Florida now, but I, you know, when I first left Florida back 20 years ago or whatever it was funny. There wasn't much of a reggae scene in Florida. And you'd think that there would be because it's like, it's the closest state to Jamaica. You would think that it may, you know, but there really wasn't. Now that I've come back, it's like, now there's a pretty good scene here. And of course it's grown in California like crazy over the last 20 or 30 years. So, what have you seen in your scene as far as the evolution of reggae up there?
I think it's been pretty healthy. You know, I've been here a while, but you know, it was started out small, you know, and it eventually grew into a pretty big, sizable community. People from California come up, people from Oregon, people come down from Vancouver, Canada, and we're right in the middle. Yeah. So we have lots of people here, you know, even if they follow Rastafari or not, but the reggae music scene has grown tremendously out here.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice. We have a really nice following here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I always love seeing reggae grow anywhere. And it's, you know, the colder the area, the harder it seems for, you know, reggae to grow in the U.S. So it's cool for me to see it growing in the Northwest there. It's like, I'd like to see it grow even more in the Midwest and in, you know, Ohio and Minnesota and, you know, up there. It'd be cool to see it grow up there too. So we're playing the Aurora Borealis in Shoreline. Have you played there before?
We have, yes. We played there last year. Yeah, we played one time before. Yeah, it was cool. During COVID, but it was a nice place.
Yeah.
So this would be a new experience with the no mask and people freaking come out.
Yeah.
You know, so nice.
We had a good crowd even when we played during the COVID season. We had a really, really good crowd, so we were successful there. So I expect it to be even better without the restrictions. So yeah.
That's cool. It is nice getting, you know, life back to more normal, even though there's still, you know, still issues. COVID is still out there. You know, at least it's kind of come down to a level that we can get out and we can do all these things together again. You know, I think I've only played like 4 or 5 shows in the past couple of years. It's ridiculous. It's just like, come on now, you know, it's good to be back, you know? It's really good to be, it's hard to be, I mean, I don't know about you. Like I enjoy recording, but I didn't get into music to record, like, you know, playing shows and that the vibe with other people. I mean, that's what music is to me. So, you know, if you're like that, it's like, and then we had to stop playing live. It's like, it's a difficult thing to deal with, but we're all in this together, you know, so everybody else is dealing with the same stuff. So, since we've gotten to this new stage at some of your shows, have you noticed any kind of a different vibe? Like if you could measure like pre-COVID to now, do people seem to be even more excited about live music? Just happy that, you know, we went through this and now, you know what I mean?
I think so. They're so happy to feel a little freedom. There were so many restrictions, showing your vaccination card before you could enter the venue and all those different things. You know, people were really kind of locked in their houses. So now to be able to come out, and we still think about that social distancing, we still keep that in our mind, but we can really enjoy ourselves much more. More people come out again. So it's just great to see that vibe come alive again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you almost feel like, you know, we took things for granted before COVID, you know, those things we never expected. We never expected something like that was going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. I had so many friends in the, you know, restaurant and bar business where, you know, they picked those professions because to them it was recession proof. And then it's like those places had to shut down. So maybe there's even more of an appreciation from all of us that, like, you know, we took some things for granted and then we had them taken away from us. Mm. And it's like, oh, you know, in the blink of an eye, everything can change. So it's, yeah, you know, it's like a gratitude. It's like, I'm just happy to be out and be able to go to shows again.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so you said you played the Aurora Borealis before. So nice place, good sound, all that.
Yeah. And I think they also renovated. So they've got I know there's a two-story place. I think they changed the music scene from downstairs to upstairs. And they have a big green room for those of us who get on the stage and all of that. So I think it's a really nice setup now. Yeah. And the staff, man, top-notch, good service, good people. They love music and they love musicians. So, and they love packing the place and they go out of the way for you. So it's a real comfortable venue anytime. I highly recommend it.
Very cool. Yeah, as a musician, it's funny because, and I'm sure you can relate to this too. It's like, we love everything about the show, but somehow it's still so much better when the people at the venue, when you're dealing with good people at the venue, it's like, because we've seen the opposite, you know, and to walk in there and know that there's good people that you're working with, like that makes it even better for us. It's like, there's no worries. There's no distractions. It's like everybody gets along really well and you're nice and relaxed to put on a great show for the audience. And, you know, people have a good time and everybody wins.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it.
Now, they have an excellent sound man also. And he'll gift you a nice recording off the board too. So,
oh, that's nice. That's always nice. It's always nice when they do that.
Yeah.
It's you know, when you have a good person running the sound, good venue owner, it just makes it so much better. And it's, you know, like I was saying before about the economics of touring, like we have to have good partnerships together. The bands who share a bill have to have good relationships. You know, the sound people, the lights people, the venue owner, the bartenders, like everyone has to kind of work together so we can all do well. You know, you don't want to see anybody kind of doing anything shady because just everyone suffers. And I'm sure, you know, as there's not a musician who's played shows who hasn't run into problems before where it's like, and it just, you know, just makes everything difficult.
Yeah. I agree.
And what's nice is as an artist, if you can, and your band or whoever you're with can bring that positivity and that good energy to the venue, when you're working with the owner, you're working with the bartender, you're working with the sound engineer to be, you know, to get along, to be peaceable, you know, to show respect, it really heightens that energy of camaraderie and makes everything run so smooth.
Makes that vibe contagious.
Yeah.
Especially in reggae. Like it's tough to, like, I don't know, maybe if you play an angry style of music or something, it's, you know, it's easy to get up on stage after a confrontation or something like that. But like in reggae, it's like, come on.
Like, yeah.
Like, you know, like, what are we doing here? Like, come on. You know,
you can't be reggae angry. So, like a new style, though, angry reggae.
Angry reggae. So,
genre right there.
So, as you've all been practicing a lot, have you been working on a lot of new material too?
I'll let you answer that one. Yeah.
Yes, we have been. And things and collaborating together, not only lyrically, but in the composition of the music to make the songs really, I'm just so excited for what we have to share with the people. So we do have new songs and then we're saving some for our new album. Okay. So we don't have them all out there yet, but you know, we've got a few new ones for you.
Yeah.
Siobhan writes our music, so she's been busy. So we've got lots of new material. Yeah.
So are you the main songwriter and then everyone else kind of, you know, collaborates with you? Like, how does your process work?
Yeah, it kind of works like that. You know, Rasa Tzaya is also a songwriter too. And we come together, you know, I get some ideas at home. And the thing about me is I absolutely love the bass. I think all reggae, oh man, without the bass, it just wouldn't be anything. So our bass player, Susan, she comes over to my house and we work together on finding bass lines. And when we found a bass line, then I work the lyrics into that bass line. Then we come back to the rehearsal and we play that bass line with the guitarist, the drummer, the keyboardist, and they create from their minds what fits with that. And it's just such a beautiful creative experience.
That's really cool. I've never heard a lot of people starting, starting with bass, which is wonderful, and it's perfect. And like, so as a singer songwriter, it makes more sense for me to play guitar than it would be to play bass. But like, there's some times where I was just like, you know what? I just want to be a bass player so bad. Like, I should have just been a bass player. It's just the most fun thing to play, man, you know. And even at home in my studio, I'll just pick up a bass and start playing. It's like I should have just done this. It just
don't tell nobody, but I have a bass guitar and I don't even play it. No, don't tell anyone. That's a secret.
I won't tell a soul. I promise. I promise this episode won't be listened to by a lot of people. But don't worry. No, that's a really interesting process, starting with the bass line. But it makes so much sense. It really does. And then you kind of like, you know, you let everybody else figure out what they're going to do. And then you kind of do you add lyrics at the end. Is that the last thing you do, or?
Well, as soon as we find the bass line, then I come up with the lyrics.
Okay.
So it kind of is challenging for our musicians, but they find a way to, with the bass and with the vocals, accompany all of that. And it's just, the whole experience is just wonderful to watch and wonderful to be a part of, and watch the little songs and the little thoughts in my head come to life.
Do you record those sessions? Do you have, you know, recorders or anything running while you're doing that?
When it's just me and the bass player?
Maybe when you bring it to the band.
We do.
Nice. Do you ever do video of that? That maybe somebody could watch this process kind of coming together? Because that would be pretty cool. Yeah,
we have a videographer. We call him Superman.
Yeah. So I remember Superman. I met Superman. Yeah.
Everything. He records everything. So everything's recorded, audio files, or when we take pictures, he does that too.
Nice. But, you
know, every session, we can try and get those recorded.
Yeah, that's cool. That's always a good way to do it, because I'll, especially, you know, these days I'll forget anything. It's a lot of times what I'll do is, like, if I'm just alone and I have come up with a melody or something, like, I'll just pick up my phone and just sing it into the phone, because I'll forget, you know, if I say, oh, I'll remember that. No, I'm not gonna. I don't have that young memory anymore. So everything must be recorded. Must be recorded. So I'm gonna see you just a week, which is great. We're gonna have a lot of fun. And then what are you looking at next? Like, what's next on your priority list after that show?
Well, you know, we might have something coming up in April. That's the one I can't talk about.
Right.
But other than that, we're going to start hitting up some of our really good venues that we went to last year. Nice. And start on the calendar.
Yeah.
That's our next step. We're keeping most of that open for GP to fill the calendar for us.
Yes.
Yeah. Working with a good event booker.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. They're great. They're great. Patrick and Michelle they're just, you know, unbelievable at what they do, you know. Yes. Well, that's great. I look forward to, you know, hearing the big news whenever you guys are able to reveal that. And so let's go over it again. We are all playing together on Thursday, March 16th at Aurora Borealis in Shoreline, Washington, with our friends Soul Tribe. So Lion of Judah Band, Soul Tribe, and me, Street Level J. And presented by Global Productions. And I'm so looking forward to this. Would you, and we'll wrap up here in a minute, but before we go, please tell everyone where they can check out Lion of Judah Band and learn what's coming up in the next few months and years for you guys so they can follow you.
All right. Yeah, there's three places I would recommend looking for us. First one is the obvious one. Straight on the internet, just type in into your browser, Lion of Judah Band, and it'll come up with our website where you can also join our mailing list and you can see all of our videos, photographs, and so forth. Or you can go to Facebook, Lion of Judah Band, or you can go to Reverb Nation, Lion of Judah Band. Do note that there is Lion of Judah and there's Lion of Judah Band. We are the second one, Lion of Judah Band.
I'm always very careful. Yeah. I've always been very careful to say Lion of Judah Band, and I know.
Sometimes I even put in Seattle to narrow down the scope further.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Band is somewhere in Texas with the same, almost the same name. But yeah, LionofJudahBand.com. Find us easy.
Yeah, cool. Right on. And when I'm there, so I'm going to take a little handheld recorder with me. So I'll do a little bit of, we'll do a little on the road version of the Talking Reggae podcast. So I'll get to talk with you again. I want to make this as fun as possible. You know, it's my first tour in the Northwest. I want to have a good time. And I know I've met almost everyone that's on this tour, this Soul Tribe tour. There's only a couple people I haven't met, at least, you know, online. So I'm just looking forward to meeting people that I talked to a year ago and been talking with on Facebook, but never got to meet. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, and above all, I'm looking forward to watching you play. I'm just so looking forward to that. So I will see you next week and we're going to have a great time. So Lion of Judah Band, Tazaya, Siobhan, thank you so much for being back on the Talking Reggae podcast. I'm going to see you soon. Okay.
Bye-bye.